You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
For those of you listeners who know my background a bit, you might remember the stories of my first few jobs after college. From being a mall cop to selling makeup door-to-door, I realized that I had skills that were being underutilized and that these minimum wage jobs couldn't support me or last forever. I spent years going through YouTube, reading books, listening to podcasts, and taking enough online courses to reinvent myself as a professional copywriter and digital marketer. Years later, thanks to my side hustles and drive, I've worked with national news outlets, multi-million dollar tech startups, nonprofits, and celebrities to build their brands and drive sales. None of this could have happened if I didn't develop in-demand skills. I had to do this alone, but you don't have to. You have Hustlers University 2.0. Hustlers University 2.0 is a community where you can learn real skills to earn money online today, starting with side hustles you can use to elevate your game. I'm not just an advocate for Hustlers University. I'm also a student. Every professor is verified to be making $10K to $500K monthly in their selected field. You get full resources, lesson plans, and an active community of thousands of other Hustlers University students working on skills such as stock analysis, cryptocurrencies, e-commerce, copywriting, which was my favorite course, one I actually went ahead and took last month. And as a copywriter of 7 years, I even took a ton out of that, including some of the resources I was able to take over to my day job. You also learn freelancing, financial planning, affiliate marketing, business management, and so much more. If you're tired of depending on a boss who hates you to deliver your paycheck, or have learned since the lockdowns that controlling the source of your income is vital to your individual freedom, sign up for Hustlers University 2.0 today using the link in the show notes. I'll see you there.
You like to show your opinions, talking big like somebody's listening. Nobody's listening. It's all fun and games until it doesn't. Toss me out, I'll hit the ignition. Now you're listening.
Remzo W. Martinez presents the Degenerate Panel. Have no fear, the Degenerate Panel is here. It's the middle of summer, you know. I didn't really realize that we were in summer until a couple days ago. We got my wife's stuff in one of those moving storage pods, and there were just some things inside of it because we had to park it in the driveway. There were just some things in there, like a giant jewelry cabinet that's really heavy that I just couldn't lift myself. So I start going down my phone tree. I start calling people, and I'm like, wait, is school in session? Maybe not. I should see, because I've got a friend who has a few teenage sons who might want to make a little extra money carrying stuff for less than an hour. And, you know, they're most likely to be available. I can't rely on a lot of my other friends in the area who work in a physical office or location like that. So I went ahead and messaged them. They came out within 15 minutes, got the place, you know, filled with boxes, and it was awesome. And yeah, so that was when it kind of hit me. It's like, you know, I used to really dictate when summer started based on when school got out. And the older I get, the more I realize that I'm disconnected from those teenage years, even those summer years when I used to be really excited for summer vacation. And it always shocks me because, believe it or not, humble listener, we do have a few of you out there who are in high school or who are in college, and this type of stuff still matters to you. Because trust me, when you're an adult, summer vacation dies. But every year, yes, Derek, very sad. Every year I try and do one episode that is aimed at recent graduates, whether you're graduating from high school, whether you're graduating from college, because I feel like at your commencement, at your graduation, you're going to be fed one line that's really inspiring and maybe a few other lines that are kind of bullshit. And we've had some really great episodes over the years, but this year I really want to focus on one thing, especially as a lot of students came back to college post-COVID and everything. They're getting accustomed to all the new ways of how they're doing classes and how they're graduating, whether they had to extend their time or not. And the one thing that really irked a few members of the panel today, Zed and Derek, is standardized testing. When we were trying to decide what topic we wanted to cover, they went ahead and threw out standardized testing. And I was like, you know what? This all syncs together. So let's run down the panel. He's tonight's producer Derek. Derek, how's life?
That's doing good, RJ. I just thought about this topic and I was like, you know, I have gripes and let's just talk, see what happens.
Derek, you're one of those people. You took the ACT. You did fine enough to go to James Madison. You got a degree in pharmacy studies?
No.
What's
so
it called? Pharmaceutical?
We can talk about that. That's a story. So we'll talk about that.
You can sell people drugs. Derek was a pharmacist.
Not yet.
And
no.
Now, okay. So not those types of drugs, like the stuff that grandma needs that maybe.
You can make your boner pills.
He could make the boner pills, but now he works in IT. And Sean was like borderline autistic as a child, and now he works in the STEM field and he's doing fine. And Zed, 10 years later, congratulations. I'm not narking on you because it took you so long. I know what you had to go through. I know why it took you so long. It's just weird that it's been three presidents since you started school. And Zed is a recent graduate. Let's all give a hand for Zed. Zed has a gripe or two about fucking standardized tests. We'll jump into all of that. Zed, how are you doing today? One quarter Persian Zed, it has been a minute.
Pretty good. It feels weird not going to school anymore.
Do you have like the homework detox? Like you're waking up at night wondering, did I turn that in? And then you're like, oh, that was a dream or a nightmare.
Well, I mean, at least now, schooling is done. But I mean, since I'm in the IT field, you're constantly learning. So about a month after I graduate now, I'm studying for my first certification exam. So I'm constantly studying still.
But the big part is done. You got the sheet of paper. Have you gotten your diploma yet?
So they're going to mail it. So it's going to be coming to my parents' house any week now. So who knows when it's going to come.
Zed, let me tell you a quick story. I got my diploma because I actually didn't graduate from Liberty until July of 2017 because there was I got to walk on stage, but I didn't get my diploma until I had to finish a math class. So I finished a math class and then they mailed me my diploma and I framed it and I was like, okay, this is cool. And I lost it for 5 years. And it wasn't until I was packing out more stuff for my parents and they were like, take your diploma with you. I was like, oh, I forgot this existed. My dad was like, what? You didn't know where it was? Why haven't you hung it up? Why was it in the back of a closet? I'm like, because it's done nothing for me in my life. But speaking of doing nothing for nothing, Sean actually works in the field that he studied in college. Sean, how much do you think standardized testing actually weighed on how far you were able to go in your field?
Well,
tell people a little bit of what you did, what the process was like, and where you eventually ended up generally.
I mean, luckily in high school, our high school offered a GIS course through James Madison.
We went to a very white high school.
Yeah.
We had an orchestra too.
And Zed was a part of it. Zed dropped GIS. He said, this shit is stupid. Bye. But I mean, with GIS, it's really hard. I'll go more into it later, but it's just hard to be able to say standardize a test with GIS because there's so many variables of like, what are you trying to cover? What's the issue? That kind of thing. And honestly, with how U of A did it, I mean, I think it's different than what a lot of other universities do for standardized testing on map making technology. And I mean, with the fact, yes, I'm not autistic, but I do have dyslexia and other stuff that I don't learn the same. And luckily GIS opened up those worldly connections that I could understand and be able to do what I do and code and drool as Zed and Derek say I do every day.
Yeah. It's just so weird though, because I remember how important I felt stuff like the SAT and the ACT were. And I look back and I'm like, it had nothing to do with how I actually did. I did not take the SAT. I took the ACT and I took it three times. I got a 19 the first time. I got 21 the second time. But I took the third one like weeks after taking the second exam, and I scored a 20. In fact, by the time I took the third test, I hadn't received my second score. My parents were just really hoping that I would have just soaked it all up and done more. Nothing could have prepared me for that. And they bought me all the books and everything. And it just wasn't jiving with me. I did fine academically in high school, but like with this, it was like, why is it that everything I learn in the classroom, none of it is what is being applied to these big standardized tests that colleges are going to look at? And then what's crazy is you have people that go ahead and they do really well on the SAT or the ACT, but three out of four college freshmen will spend 3 to 5 semesters taking at least half their credits being remedial education, meaning they're taking high school level courses to catch up to graduate on time. And that is why so many people are having to take a fifth year of college, a sixth year of college, because their first year and maybe half their second year is almost taking remedial courses. I had to take a remedial math class my freshman year. Luckily, I was able to graduate in 4 years because I had taken so many AP classes in high school, and I got the credits for that. And I also took 3 to 6 credits every summer. So like I was one of the few people that I remember that could actually graduate in 4 years and not have to worry about, despite the fact that I failed a math class my final semester at Liberty University, and I had to take that class online to finally get my degree. But, you know, I look back and it's like my degree has nothing to do with what I currently do now. My degree was political science. I did a little bit of that, but it wasn't what I ultimately ended up in. And I don't necessarily say, oh, my degree was worthless. My degree was worthwhile for somebody that would have wanted to pursue that long term. And ultimately, that wasn't me. So I don't look at it like, oh, I should have never gotten it. It helped me get to where I am now, and I'm happy with it. But at the same time, it's like I don't understand why the barriers to entry are so tough. I remember a point in high school. Tell me if you guys remember this. I think this was our sophomore or junior year. Do you guys remember the career aptitude testing we had to take?
Oh my God. That luckily I got accepted to some program, so I got all that stuff free, but yeah.
Yeah. This one was a career aptitude test where basically I forgot if it was homeroom or whatever. There was I don't even remember if we had homeroom. Anyway, it was one of the classes that wasn't as important, so the school sacrificed it for a few periods so that way we could go take this test. But it was a test that looked at your academics, it looked at your personality, and I remember taking it, and I shit you not, it said garbage disposal. And not even like somebody managing that, not even somebody who could actually make like a good career in sanitation, because that's a good career field. No, it was garbage, man.
Maybe they like, what maybe the they hell? Want you to, maybe they wanted you to take out the trash. Like,
you want me to take out the trash? No. They were like, no, you're going to take out other people's trash. It's like, why even? Like, if you're telling me this, like, why not just drop out right now? Like, yeah. What is the point if you're telling me that I'm best suited to do that? And I don't understand why.
What grade?
This was like sophomore or junior year.
I got two results. Mine was being a tailor lackey, like you're helping the tailor and they just throw you like the cuttings and everything. And then the other one was a dishwasher at it gave me three results for local places around us: Red Robin, Sweetwater, and it's not there anymore next to Sweetwater, but it was like something tavern.
Yeah, it was like this stupid thing that was put on by the Career Development Center.
A tailor lackey? Was this 1950s?
I'll be honest.
It would be great at a haberdashery, my boy. the haberdashery.
But it was just so dumb. And it's not like it was telling you anything. I think more we were like, you know, doing research for some big corporation that wanted to test this exam to collect data so they could do something else with it. But I just remember that. And it's just like, how can they tell me what I would be best suited for? Now, we're lucky that that's just a test that gives you a result that has no bearing on your life. We've all done better than garbage man and guy that, you know, pricks his fingers for a tailor. But you know, like in some countries like Germany, Derek and I were talking about this prior. In Germany, like around 10th grade, you take an exam. It's a career aptitude and technical education exam that ultimately determines whether you're going to go to college and become a doctor, an engineer, a scientist, or something like that, or whether you're going to immediately be put into a technical and job training program. And, you know, what that does is that really does set the course for your life. Your life is going to be dictated based on that because you don't get a redo. You don't get a second chance. You can't say, well, I want to try anyway. Because for all intents and purposes, according to the ACT and the SAT, for a lot of people, they're not smart enough to go to college. But, you know, they end up graduating and doing well regardless of that.
Yeah.
And with this exam, you know, they have another one in France called the BAC, La BAC. And LABAC is exactly the same, except LABAC basically says you're either smart enough to go to college or not, and it's a one-time deal. And that also sets you aside because the French education system is 100% subsidized, so they're going to make sure that not everybody can get in. It's either you're smart enough to go to college or bam, you're in the workforce. So we're lucky we live in the country where despite all this shit, there's a college for everybody. There are opportunities for everybody, whether you did really well in this subjective bullshit or not. You still have the opportunity to at least try. Because I think we can all name a couple of people who did very well academically, but they fucked up college. They partied too much. They didn't take it seriously or something happened and they just dropped out. Or for some people, it's not that, you know, they were stupid. They were smart. Just college wasn't meant for them. And that's perfectly fine. I think one of the biggest lies that we tell people is that college is for everybody. College isn't. And that's not a bad thing. Some people aren't meant to do that. They're meant to do something else. And they could still succeed and live really great lives regardless of that. But, I mean, exams themselves, you know, and I'm not saying like every exam, but these standardized tests, these tests that really try and block you off as you're bound to succeed or you're bound to fail – they're not fair. They don't predict success well, and they serve no purpose other than being a money grabber and wasting time, Zed.
I mean, at least, you know, for me, like I wasn't a good student in high school. I was like a C student in high school. I did terrible on the SAT. No college would accept me. So my only option was to go to community college. I went to Nova, right? And I basically got onto basically the Virginia College Transfer Program, where if you get your associates and you have at least a 2.5 GPA, you can transfer to most Virginia universities. So initially I did GIS like Doyle did, but then I didn't like it that much. So then I direct my interest to IT because I like computers. So I believe Mason's like requirement to get into the engineering program was like you needed a 3.0 GPA. So, you know, I just took my gen ed classes at Nova and the community college, got my associates, and then I transferred over to Mason's IT program. And, you know, from there, I got my IT degree and I'm working in my field. And I mean, it took a while because I feel like some things that Mason do in their curriculum is kind of stupid. The way the prerequisites are laid out or the way you're supposed to take exams. But, you know, I got through it and now I'm working in the field I studied for. But, I mean, I was working in IT even before I graduated for like 2-3 years. So it's not necessarily, oh, you need a degree to do a certain job. If you have the experience and knowledge, people will hire you. You just need to know the right people.
Yeah. And, I mean, something on my end, and Derek, if he wants to speak of that too. I mean, a lot of universities, I'll be honest with you, a lot of the Virginia schools looked at me because of, I mean, my grades were great, but one thing was like my learning disability. I mean, I don't learn the same, sadly. I don't study the same as most people, and it's just GIS made sense. And when it came down to doing GIS, it was like, okay, it doesn't base you on vocabulary and stuff like that. It's more, how can you create solutions within mapping to help out each and every person? And that's, I think, the one thing. It's like, a lot, these ACT and SAT tests aren't friendly to people that don't test well in the right way. And Derek, if you want to, like,
so, like, in terms of my college journey, I guess I'll call it that. Like,
you just wanted to sell drugs.
So in high school, I kind of had this idea that I was going to become a pharmacist. I don't know how this happened. It just kind of felt like the right track. I took like this pharmacy tech course in high school because they had like these career classes you could take that would teach you a certain job or get you prepared for a certain career path. I don't remember the exact name of them, but I took a pharmacy tech course, and I actually did get pharmacy tech certified. I never got a job in it. Never found anyone to hire me, but I got certification, so I could have done it. I took that class, and it was fine. And in high school, I was a very good student. Like,
you were jealous of Derek.
Yeah,
Derek. All I heard was, I got an A in this.
But I studied really hard in high school for whatever reason. I think part of it was just parental pressure and all that. And just like, whenever I had tests coming up, I was like, oh yeah, is this coming up? Okay, study, like, know the shit. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm going to know the shit. And I knew the shit. So I did my best in high school. And I did pretty good in high school. I actually had a very good GPA. I don't remember what it
ended up. You had a 4.0.
I did not have 4.0. I was close, but I was not have 4.0. I know that.
Okay, fine. It was the 3.92, but basically 4.0.
It was something it was something like that.
I was a little obsessive about
this. Just a tad. I guess he was jealous. But the point is, when I got to college, it changed because I started as a chem major thinking with a pre-pharmacy track, because I did this program that was like basically I joined this track that was basically centered around anyone pre-med, pre-veterinarian, pre-pharmacy, like any medical field, like pre-studies you could do in this track pretty much. And I did a chem major focusing on that for about the first year and a half. And during this year and a half, I took those courses in chem, and I found out that I wasn't as in love with it as I thought I was, because I just wasn't doing great in the courses. Like, I passed, but it didn't click the way I wanted it to. Like, my grades were not nearly as good as they were in high school, and I kind of saw them fall off. So I backtracked and I thought more. I was like, okay, what do I want to do? So for about half a semester, I just focused on the gen eds, because I just moved on to like doing gen ed courses for a semester to kind of figure out, okay, chem's not working, and I don't think I want to do pharmacy anymore, but then what's the answer? I think I still wanted to do pharmacy, but I think chem wasn't the answer. So for some reason, I think I switched over to computer science. That was it. And this was computer science major, and computer science major at JMU, it's a bit weird, because what they want you to do, like the initial course, you had to get a B minus in or higher.
So I won't pause you there.
Okay.
You did okay enough on those standardized tests, but based off what degree path you follow, you're going to be dealing with different levels of difficulty.
Yes.
I don't understand what these tests really prove, whether you have the cognitive ability to just do well on those things, because they can't tell you whether you're good. You're going to be good at track A or track B, Derek. You're going to have varying degrees of that. These tests aren't really for, they're not, they, 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 They tell you your likelihood of succeeding if you try, if you find the right thing. But that's just so, like, every person is so different. I don't understand how it can decide all these varying degrees for the millions of American graduates every year.
I'm with you. I mean, like a lot of my stress back then in terms of college, like, oh boy, like back college, I kind of fell off in terms of my emotional health. It was not a good time for me. Like, I had fun at college, sure, but in terms of my grades and my future, I had zero idea what I wanted to do. And if there was any piece of advice that I would give anyone currently in college or planning on going to college in the future, don't think necessarily about what you want to do. Think about where you want to be and what jobs exist in that area. Because for me, what I ended up doing was ISAT, which is Integrated Science and Technology. And the focus was on engineering and environment, engineering, manufacturing, and environment. Now, like, this was a double track. It was like that dual concentration, as they put it. I could have done like four other things, but I chose these two because it seemed like I had enough transfer credits that worked with the courses I already took, and this worked out to get me graduating a year late, but it worked out in the end. Now, with the degree I got, what that would have prepared me for was kind of supply chain manufacturing, analyzing supply chain in, like, you know, factories and other things that would work well in places that weren't Northern Virginia. But Northern Virginia, a big thing around here is IT stuff. Now, after I graduated, you know, I spent like a year trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I ended up settling on what I do now, which is, you know, I did work a help desk, and now I'm a security analyst, which is great. And I'm incredibly happy with that decision. But that came because my brother pointed me in the right direction, which was getting a Security Plus certification. And then once I got that, he helped me get an interview with my current job, and it all worked out in that direction.
So right there, you just hit on something which is key, which is you narrowed in on a more specific career path, and then you got the certification you needed, which was the barrier to entry. But you see, that's specific. That's the type of stuff that you want to see. You want to see a level of competency in employees. You want to make sure before you hire them, are they capable? And those certifications are good.
Yes.
Between the four of us, we've all got one or multiple certifications for different things in our field. But those are specific, those are narrow, and those are industry respected. And when you look at something like the SAT or the ACT or a lot of these other generic standardized tests, they don't get specific on anything. Like I was very strong in the English reading comprehension portion of everything we did in language and all that stuff. You cannot, even to this day, you cannot give me something math related and expect me to do well outside of addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. That's about it.
So my thing when it comes to tests, right, is that basically I think that it was always funny to me whenever teachers would say, oh, this will prepare you for real life, or this is, or like, you will expect this in your career path. No, you won't. I have never been put in a situation in my entire life, like my working life thus far, post school, where I have been told, okay, we have a problem. I need you to solve it right now. And you aren't allowed to use your computer, the internet, asking any questions. You can't do any bullshit whatsoever. You have to use your brain to solve this problem right now. I have never been told that once in my entire life.
Zed, I saw you shaking your head just a moment ago.
And because you can use this crazy thing called Google, or you can ask your more experienced coworkers, how would you have dealt with this? And typically you'll get a response because solving that problem is in your team's best interest. Like, and you know, when you take a test, guess what? That That's not what happens. Teacher says, oh, I can't answer that. You have to remember. It's like, what life scenario am I going to have to remember things out of my head?
Exactly. Zed, I saw you shaking your head a moment ago.
Yeah, I understand what Derek's talking about. I mean, at least, you know, for me, when I studied IT, that was my degree. I was already working in IT while I was taking my IT degree. So I kind of had like a comparison of, you know, the difference of actually getting hands-on experience working in the field and then someone who would just go to college and just study it and get, you know, go fresh out of college into the field. You know, like what I realize is probably 80% of the stuff that I learned in college, I have never used in my job. Probably the only thing that's would be beneficial that I learned in my entire degree would be, you know, learning how to code in like Python, JavaScript, SQL. But even then, you can teach yourself that online in like a month, basic scripting, like security fundamentals, like they want you to know. Like you can do that through a basic security certification. And like the stuff I do in my daily job, I learned that just working the job, and my employer taught me everything I need to know. School didn't teach me how to use any of the tools that the industry uses. They teach you, here are the definitions, memorize them, and then, you know, multiple choice tests, or which I thought was really stupid. In the programming classes, the tests weren't, oh, code out a program and submit it and we'll see it works. No, in programming, the tests were, I want you to write with your hand the code to this problem, and then we will grade it and see if you wrote down by hand the correct code. And they'd basically knock out like points for spelling mistakes or grammar or whatever bullshit. I'm like, in real life, you're not going to be writing code by hand. You're going to be using a program that's going to tell you if you did it right or not. Weird. So I'm like, what are you teaching us here? Are you teaching us to write down code, or do you want to teach us actually how to write programs and use the tools to our resources we have in the real world? So it's like, you know, actually working in the industry teaches you more than college ever did in like 2 years of working in IT.
And one thing I'll always remember, at least I feel I'll always remember, is like anytime I was ever asked to write like an essay for something, like, and y'all can tell me if you've done this too, but like, you know, it's like write 5-page essay on whatever. How many quotes did you just use as filler? Just like quote it and then do like the whole MLA citation thing just to fill out parts of the essay. It's and like I would just make it fit with my sentence and be like, and John said like dot 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 and the, like the quote and then like the citation just to fill in like a large part of like the page or paragraph just to get it done. Like the amount of, and they would be like, oh, you can't use too many quotes. Like, but you're asking me to do a report.
Does it answer the question or not?
Yeah, does it?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, oh, you can't use in school, you can't use the internet or Google for anything. I'm like, half my job in real life is using Google's for problems I can't solve.
Meanwhile, at my job, it's like, boss, I don't know how to do this. Like, did you Google it? It's like, oh yeah, good point. I'll tell you
how
fast.
I learned how to be a digital marketer almost entirely through YouTube. And that's not an exaggeration.
I mean, like
the internet is a great teacher, honestly, because like, it's like the professors and teachers are like, oh, I am the arbiter of information. You must only go through me for whatever reason.
It's like, why are you here not out in your field making more money? Like, what are you here doing with me?
Like, naturally, they should be encouraging you to research your own answers and figure things out. If it were up to me, I would never do standardized tests because that relies on a person's memory and not everyone has the photographic memory where it's like, oh, I can, like, I'm very jealous of the people that can open up a book and like read like, you know, all the facts and then like when they see it on the test, it's like, oh, boom, answer. Like I read this page at like page 27 at line 12. This is the answer I remember. Like very jealous of that. But if it was up to me, I'd replace tests. And I encourage projects. I like projects because projects are open. They give you time. They say, okay, here's your task. You can use whatever you want to make this thing or make this program, or like whether it's building something or writing something or coding something, doesn't matter. They give you the ability to research and find ways to complete it. Like basically you're free to do it how you see fit, but as long as you get the problem done, you got it done. Now, obviously, yeah, and this whole thing, like, in academia where it's like, oh, you have to cite your sources and make sure you use only academic sources. And it's like, you know, oh, I went to Wikipedia and found the answer. It's like, oh, that's, and then now it's like a debate. Is that legit or not? Because I feel like back when we were in school, like, oh, Wikipedia is like lies. Like, but now it's like encouraged partially. I don't know. I thought it was
the, well, yeah. Like, I it's funny. It's like, in school, if you use someone else's code and modify it to your solution, it's called cheating in school. But if you use someone else's code and modify it to your solution in the industry, it's called efficiency.
Exactly.
It's nobody like ever gets mad at Bill Gates.
Yeah, it's called
Bill someone Gates found Microsoft Word in a fucking trash can.
Yeah, it's called someone figured it out. And it's like, if someone already figured it out and all you're doing is taking that and suiting it to your needs, you've done well. Like, I understand plagiarism.
It's called innovation. Innovation.
No, I'm with you. I understand plagiarism to an extent, but when it's used in school, it's like, oh, if someone else has ever done the same thing ever, you're not allowed to use it.
well, it's like, you know, there's plagiarism, but then there's like if you're like legit stealing something, if you're like, this is my original idea, it came from me, this is entirely mine.
Yeah,
then mine that's now. Stealing. But, you know, like everything I've done, like, and I tell this to younger people who want to get into like email marketing, social media marketing, that type of thing. It's like, I'm not the best, because I have created things. I have created nothing. I'm not the best because I have just, you know, seen the future with, you know, what people want. I'm really, really good at my job because I listen to people who are smarter than me. I go ahead and solve things myself, but I also learn from other people's experiences in order to best provide myself with the knowledge and tools and information I need to make better decisions. There are people smarter than me. There are people who have already provided a mountain of work over the years. The difference between a successful person with, you know, who might not be as academically smart as somebody who's really academically smart, but, you know, they just don't know how to move outside the box, per se, is the person who's ultimately going to be successful understands what they're not good at, and they go out and find the information and they learn how to build on it. But the person who's just waiting for instructions but doesn't know how to get that drive to go find the solutions himself, it doesn't matter how academically smart they are, they're always going to be contained to, you know, I think Zed brought it up, this like multiple choice Scantron logic. It's like, yeah, there were a lot of people that we graduated from high school with who were academically smart, but when it came to life itself, they were borderline morons. They could not handle the basic things in life. They have a problem with basic morality. They could do well on the test, but they're horrible people. And I mean, that's the thing, especially with standardized tests. I hated how it's like, you know, the one school I really wanted to go to, VMI at one point told me, it's like, you know, you should have taken an extra sport and you should have done better on the SAT. And it's like, I'm sorry, the ACT. And it's like, how can you tell I'm going to do well based off something that it only makes you look good? Me doing an extra sport only makes you look good, because then you can say that about your student body. But then the ACT part is like, But you saw that everything else I did was really good. You saw that I was doing this. I was doing stuff, you know, as a Civil Air Patrol cadet, community service, all these essays, all the scholarships I won. You're looking at one factor and you're making a judgment call on my success based off of that. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, talking about, you know, using the resources available to your advantage to get something done. I mean, Bill Gates, you know, quoted, you know, I choose a lazy person to do a hard job because a lazy person will find an easy way to do it. Because companies, bosses, they just want to know, can you get the work done? And does it solve the problem?
Yeah.
No one's here, you know, waiting for you to come up with a out-of-scratch solution. It's going to take you 8 hours when you can do the same thing in an hour.
Yeah, I've always thought that, like, whenever teachers, like, go on about how, you know, like, oh, you have to do well in these classes or you're not going to do well in life or some shit. It's like, what do you mean? Like, it doesn't just matter that we get to the right answer. No, you have to show all your work. You have to show me the steps you got made to get there. It's like, but I got the right answer. What does it matter?
I can't tell you the Pythagorean theorem to save my freaking life. But Derek, I want to see this video you just pulled up. When Asian kid gets a B.
Asian kid gets a B.
I could relate, probably.
You got the report card. So, okay, son, you say you got the report card.
So, for math, I got an A.
A average. Okay.
Okay. We okay with average.
For science, I got an A.
A again.
Two average.
For history, I got another A.
Average again. Jesus, you have to do better, you know?
A is good.
What the hell? That's for white people.
Okay, that's average, boy.
For English, though, I got a B. What the hell you say?
How the hell you get the B?
What, you forget your name?
You know what B stand for?
B stand for stupid.
I tell you, your cousin get one B. Now he's an influencer.
Oh no, we don't talk about him. We don't go that low, okay?
Timmy's got a B and his mom's really proud of him.
What the hell you say? Do I look like Timmy's mother? Do I look like I eat kale? Do I look like Instagram model? How the hell you know Timmy's mother? Do the Instagram model? I don't know the... Steven told me...
I didn't tell him nothing, I don't know.
Okay, here's what you get.
RJ, being half Asian, is this relatable?
Oh my gosh, my dad was just lucky that I was not severely failing things. Like if I had a legit excuse for why I didn't do something wrong other than just sheer laziness or I was just not paying attention, he would let me by. He knew what I wanted to do. So if I was not achieving certain standards, he'd be like, you know, get it done, understand what you want to do and fix it. Whereas my mom, would go like, you're not a Bijan or Cijan, you're Asian. And I'm like,
A is average.
It's like, mom, you lived in Seoul until you were like 11 and you're a white lady from Arizona. Please, I'm not that type of Asian. I inherited none of the math skills, just the driving impairment as a teenager. So yeah, it was not fun.
I mean, we in a way it's, you know, pushing, you know, if you push someone so hard to get all A's straight, you know, where it's like kind of like you're a tiger parent, it can backfire on you. Because, I mean, we've seen real life examples of kids who were pushed so hard to get into Ivy League schools, like our valedictorian, and she went batshit crazy.
Let's talk about that. It's been a few years since we brought her up.
Yeah, the graduation episode. Remember?
Sean, do you have an update?
Well, I mean, it's just a piece of advice. I mean, the thing that helped me probably throughout high school was the fact that I was an athlete. So I had to manage my time as much as I did studying for all these stupid tests, everything like that. But I think the best advice is to have something that you want to achieve to be able to help you balance the school and whatever. I mean, if it's woodworking, anything, working on the your dad's car after school or something, whatever it is, I think it's just that kind of helped me balance out my time to be able to do well. At least I didn't have a 3.92 like Derek. I had a 3.6, but I did well. And the fact that I went into GIS again, luckily I didn't listen to my advisor. Like, I wouldn't suggest everyone, you should stray away from what your advisor says, but do the research, like Derek said, but find a direct path of what you want to do, whether it's you want to stay in your area or what do you want to work in and then move to that area, what jobs that they offer. But luckily I did a little bit of both that said, hey, I want to do GIS, but what sector I want to go into? And I'm in more of the private sector and the government sector. So other people, what, Derek?
I'm sorry, you finish and then I'll go.
Other people, it's either public or just doing like saving the world kind of stuff. And honestly, just got to figure out what you want to do. I mean, don't always have someone else tell you what to do. What do you want to do? Because I mean, I know a lot of people out there that did stuff that their parents said, hey, I'm a doctor, you be a doctor. Well, they finished all their classes at Tech and realized when they went to try to apply for medical school, it's just not for them. So what do they do now? I mean, couldn't tell you. I mean, I know one of them's just like a bedpan nurse in Reston.
What happened to our valedictorian? Do we have an update? Did you mention something or?
Let's
recap so, quickly. We have this valedictorian. The world was her oyster. She went to MIT. She discovered sex and Oxycontin. Molly's the club drug and other drugs. And she dropped out with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt and went to rehab and no degree. So fact is, 4 out of 4 members of the degenerate panel have college degrees and have not done drugs. So the future is good, kids.
I mean, you know, my whole outlook on jobs or what you want to do for a career, personally, to me, a job's a job. My main goal is to make as much money as possible so I have the funds to do what I like on my days off or the time I have off to do my hobbies, because I got expensive hobbies. I'm pretty sure you guys do too. So, yeah, I could do what I love every day as a job, or I could just work a 9-to-5 or do a business, make a shit ton of money and do whatever the hell I want.
So I'd like to reiterate a point from earlier, and basically, like, just for anyone who is looking at college, graduating, close graduating, or even just entering college, maybe, like, kind of balance, find a balance of what do you want to do and where do you want to be? Because if the answer of where are you going to be after college is, oh, I'm going to move back down to my parents, look at that area before you even start any courses and be like, okay, what's around here? What jobs exist in my area?
Including girls in this scenario?
I mean, okay, obviously if you have something other, that matters, but that's also, I mean, that also fits into, you know, where you want to be. Like if you're with somebody and she lives somewhere, you know, that's different, and you want to go live with her, be around her, then again, just look where you want to be.
I want to pivot for a minute though, Derek, because I've got something I'm going to forget, but you have a video by Elon Musk. Let's go ahead and swing to that, because I think this is going to tie a lot of things together.
I haven't watched it yet, but let's watch it now.
Be in the moment with us. We're live. Just be here with us. Press play. Now you can press play.
I think a lot of things people learn, probably there's no point in learning them. Because they never use them in the future. Because a lot of kids just in school kind of puzzled as to why they're there.
Well, oftentimes business education today, and I see it all the time, kids come out of college, the best colleges, Wharton and Harvard and Stanford and some of the great business schools, and they'll come out and they won't have practical experience. There's too many case studies that aren't practical.
The people who are doing the work that we care about are figuring out what to do next, not following the person who told them what to do next. And the problem with most colleges is they are high school, but with more binge drinking.
The A students work for the B students. The C students run the businesses, and the D students dedicate the buildings.
The entire purpose of a good university is to give you a foundation to fail, not a foundation to get an A. Mm. And if you graduate from college with straight A's, you have to do some serious soul searching as to why you chose to spend your time doing that.
You know, we ask kids that are 16 to 18 years old to make $100,000 debt decisions when they go off to university. And they're not prepared for that. They don't know what they're getting themselves into. They just assume, okay, I'm going to pay 4 years of education at $25,000 a pop, and when I come out the other side, somehow I'll be able to pay it back.
Right.
That's not how life works anymore.
It's like the newspaper industry, right? More printing presses, more big buildings, right? Makes us look grander. We have brains that we're putting them out there. There's a point of diminishing returns in terms of what it's worth for a college education and how much debt you're willing to saddle yourself with.
I mean, it's actually kind of funny. You know, if you think of, like, what is education, like, you're basically downloading data and algorithms into your brain. And it's actually amazingly bad in conventional education? Because like it shouldn't be like this huge chore. You've got someone standing up there kind of lecturing at people, and they've done the same lecture 20 years in a row, and they're not very excited about it. And
I mean, I hated going to school when I was a kid. It was torture.
This brings us to today's sponsor, Hustlers University 2.0. Derek, have you signed up for Hustlers University yet?
I'm going to, I swear.
Okay,
to you.
You need to. Zed, have you signed up for Hustlers University?
I shaved my head.
Have you signed up for HU2? No. Sean, have you signed up for Hustlers University yet?
I will.
Okay, well, folks, I'm not going to run through the amazing things that Hustlers University has done for me and tens of thousands of other students online. You hear at the beginning of the show, before every episode we do, I put it up because I'm a genuine supporter. It has done tremendous things for me as a student, and I see it performing miracles in other people's lives. If you want to go ahead and understand trading, cryptocurrencies, e-commerce, Amazon affiliate marketing, general affiliate marketing, copywriting, business management, all these other fantastic things, Hustlers University has just had a massive upgrade. You can go ahead and get mentored by real millionaires who are professionals in their fields while at the same time working with a community of people that are actively winning and learning and trading ideas. And you have all the resources and knowledge all in one place for $50 a month. Actually, no, it's not $50 a month. It's $49 a month. And what I'm doing for four listeners of this show is I will be paying for 1 month free of your Hustlers University tuition. So here's how you do it. You go on the link in the show notes. This only works if you use my link in the show notes. Go ahead and sign up for Hustlers University using my link. Then what you do is send me a screenshot of your receipt to Hey Remso on Twitter. That's HEYRAMSO on Twitter. Screenshot your receipt after you purchase your membership with my link. And then once you send me the receipt, I will go ahead and PayPal or Venmo you your month's tuition as a thank you, as well as just, you know, giving you a little bit more comfort to invest in yourself. The knowledge is there. The resources are there. The community is there. The things you need to go ahead and learn how to make anywhere from a few hundred dollars to tens of thousands of dollars a month is in Hustlers University. I'm not just saying this is somebody who likes the general idea, who likes the vibe. I'm telling you, this is a student who was only going to join for 1 month. I've been in there since November of 2021. I'm still going to be in it for as long as I still get value out of it, because it's doing amazing things for me and it's done amazing things for many other people. And I want to give you that opportunity. So I will pay for up to four people's Hustlers University tuition for 1 month. So use the link in the show notes. Doesn't work if you don't. Send me a screenshot of your receipt to Hey Remso on Twitter, and then I will PayPal or Venmo you the $49 to cover your first month of Hustlers University. Do that today. I'm only doing it for the first four people that go ahead and take advantage of this offer. Will I see you inside? Hope so. But going back to what Sean said about guidance counselors earlier, and the video that Derek brought up of Kevin O'Leary, Donald Trump, Mark Cuban, all the others, a real deciding point in my life was when I realized that the people that I thought were there to support me were actually just there to babysit me. And those people were guidance counselors. I took like an honors level biology class my freshman year of high school, when I felt like I had all the pressure of the world on me and I had to drop the class because I was failing. And it just wasn't good for me. It was stressing me out. My parents were like, you're already taking several other honors classes. You should drop this. So I went ahead and dropped it. And the peer pressure from other students was very real. My teacher was even like, you're probably making a good decision. But my guidance counselor, who didn't know me from Adam, went ahead and looked at my paperwork and was like, Martinez, as if she was trying to, you know, I don't know, get her mind around the fact that Martinez was already taking multiple honors classes. There were not many honors level Latinos in our high school. But, you know, she asked me, what do you want to do? And I told her I want to go to either the Air Force Academy or VMI. I want to be an Army officer. I want to do really well. And she's like, you know, they're going to look at this and they're going to see you drop the class. You know, maybe you need to go ahead and lower your expectations and maybe do 2 to 3 years at community college and just kind of figure out what's right for you. And at that point, I'm like, 2 to 3 years at community college? Like, aren't those usually 2 years? And she gave me a packet for Nova and kicked me out and said, if I want to go ahead and drop my other honors classes, I could. If she had looked at my grades, she would have saw that I was passing all my other honors classes with A's and B's. But she went ahead and stereotyped me. She immediately told me what I was capable of doing. Sherry basically came to a verdict that I would not succeed. And then, you know, 3 years later, senior year, not only was I the first in our graduating class to be accepted to college, but I actually was awarded the most scholarship money out of any student. I received 4 scholarships by graduation. And I was the student who was told, you're not going to do more than maybe community college and that no college will want to take you. I wasn't the best athlete. I sucked. I was a fat kid in track doing shot put and discus. I wasn't the best academically. I had enough C's on my report cards to, you know, not brag to my parents, but I knew what I wanted to do. I hyper-focused on that. I studied my ass off in the free period I had running notes between the vice principal's office and different teachers. I was learning how to write, and writing was the foundation for my entire career. Learning how to write, learning how to argue, learning, you know, those critical debate skills and stuff like that. Because what I realized was that I needed the money. I needed to get to school. I needed to get out of the bad situation I was in, which was me telling myself that I wasn't good enough. And, you know, 4 years later, I did not have a job out of college. I thought I did all the right things that you were supposed to do. And I had a guidance counselor once again tell me, you know, you're just one of many recent graduates and there's nothing special about you. And you would be lucky to take an unpaid internship for maybe 6 months to a year working in DC. And here I am, having just worked so hard to graduate, only to be told that my value was zero. Last I checked, I've written 2 books. One of them was a bestseller. I've worked for Fortune 500 companies. I've worked for major publishers. I've worked for celebrity clients. I've done tremendously well, having reinvented myself as a digital marketer. And when I checked what she was doing on LinkedIn, she's still a guidance counselor at Liberty University. So whose value is really less?
Yeah. And RJ, to kind of follow up with that, I mean, don't let people dictate you. I mean, even the start of my life, I mean, again, I have a learning disability. My mom got me tested. She just wanted to make sure. That day I got tested, the results came back. That doctor said I would be mentally retarded.
Well, I'm kidding.
Shut up. He's giving you an inspirational story.
Way to shit on my childhood.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's like the Alex just, I gotta admit, I'm a little kind of retarded.
You are a very smart person, Sean. I'm sorry.
But Sean is extremely accomplished despite all his obstacles, and I'm not gonna keep praising him. I'll let him finish off his motivational Rocky Balboa speech.
No, but yeah, that doctor told my mom, hey, your son shows strong tendencies of mental retardation. And from that day on, I mean, even though my mom found stuff for me to kind of improve my social skills and everything like that, I mean, I've always, like, my dad, I remember, I think I was like 6 years old, sat me on, you defy who you want to be later on in life. And even my grandfather said the exact same thing to me. I mean, he became, both my grandfather and my dad are one of the top engineers in the fields that they went into. And just doing what you want to do, and don't let anybody else tell you what to do is always the best thing. If they tell you, hey, you want to go in the public sector, well, do your due diligence. Make sure that's something you're comfortable with. Don't just do it because someone else told you to, that they're getting paid more than $88K a year at a public university that's research funded and everything, which also a reason why that my college fit me, because it was research funded. There was money for me to figure out what I wanted to do there.
Yeah. And Sean, to kind of follow up, I think one thing that people should take into account, especially like RJ with the whole guidance counselor situation, is try to don't take the advice of someone who's not necessarily invested in your personal growth. Like, cause the high school counselor does not really care much what's happening with your life. Cause you know, like you said, she doesn't know you from Adam, like, right. Doesn't know you from, you know, whoever walks through that door. It's just like, she sees so many, like the counselor sees so many students all the time to talk about, you know, whatever they need to talk about, whether it's academics or whatever, but they're not necessarily concerned with your personal growth beyond the session that you're having in that room.
Exactly, Zed.
Yes. I mean, speaking about guidance counselors as well, you know, they're more guiding you towards failure than anything in my experience, especially high school ones. Cause you know, for instance, you know, I love cars and I wanted to learn how to work on cars. And I took this after school program when I used to go to Lake Braddock Middle School, where you actually went to the auto shop and learned how to fix cars, like doing oil changes and brake work and all that kind of stuff. Nice. So I got an interest in that. So when I went to high school, I'm like, oh, I want to take auto tech because I like working on cars. It's fun. So I go to my counselor and I'm like, I want to take auto tech and because I like cars. And she's like, oh, why do you want to take auto tech? Do you plan on being a mechanic when you graduate? I'm like, no, I just like cars. No, that's a waste of your time. I'm not going to allow you to take auto tech. And then later I didn't get to take auto tech in high school because my counselor said, no, that's not good for your career track or whatever.
We all get the same degrees.
And then
exactly.
High school, like, you're doing an advanced studies diploma. So you don't want to do any vocational training.
That doesn't allow, okay.
Right.
That's retarded.
So like basically she didn't allow me to take auto tech, even though I could, but she was against it. So I didn't get to learn more about fixing cars.
I want to pause you on there real fast. For people that don't know, this is only like a Fairfax County, Virginia thing, advanced diploma versus a standard diploma. That has nothing to do with where you go to school, where you get a job, your employer doesn't fucking care. That doesn't only help. Matters to other schools as they compete with each other. In fact, I was actually one of the few people in our graduating class who did not get an advanced diploma. Why? Because I dropped a math elective. I'm sorry, I dropped a math credit my senior year. So because of that, I couldn't get the advanced diploma. I got a standard diploma. But you know what my diploma said? High school graduate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then along with that, you know, this was senior year and I was like applying to colleges, right? And like I mentioned earlier, I wasn't that, you know, I was a B minus C student. So basically no like 4-year universities would accept me, right? Because I didn't meet the GPA threshold. I did terrible on my SATs. So the same counselor was like, oh, you know, since no university is going to accept you in Virginia, I'm going to recommend you go to this bumfuck nowhere university in Pennsylvania or Ohio or wherever, and you can do something there. And I'm like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, you know, F you, lady. And I just went to Nova and did my shit. And now I'm here. You know, I managed to go to George Mason through community college and I got my degree and I'm working in my field. So fuck you, lady. You know?
Yeah. Fuck you, lady.
Yeah. Like that lady doesn't care beyond the session you're in with her. Like, well, just.
And that's what circles around to this in high school. And RJ, you have said this. And I think I said this to you and then you just more publicized it. The universities go to these high schools, like in Virginia here, and they push their shit. So then the counselors for us are pushing, oh, yeah, we want you to go to Mason. But you know what? Bumfuck PA would rather have you. Because yeah, they have these schools in mind specifically rather than, oh, Sean, you're taking a GIS class. Zed, you're doing IT. How about
Well, having your whole life figured out by high school. Yeah. Not many people do.
Well, Derek. Just before I lose my train of thought.
Yeah, go.
I have a theory that these counselors are taking money from universities under the table, so they'll push going to school, like college, even though you don't know what to do, instead of vocational training. I really think that's why vocational training isn't being pushed, because they're taking payments under the table from universities.
What, I 100%
what if I told you I can prove it?
Oh.
A former counselor, I will not say her name or what she does currently, but she did mention to me, very similar to this topic, that it's like, yeah, I mean, it can be. It's not always offered by the universities, but it's there as an open hand for us to grab.
You want to know who also does that and who has been caught doing that? Banks. Banks and credit lenders to students who are seeking financial aid.
Man, it's all just one big web, isn't it? Because it's just
a fucking scam.
Because the thing is, like, they don't, like, I mean, these guys don't care about where students are going. They're just like, we need to push whatever's financially lucrative for us. Because let's be real, what are these guidance counselors actually making and these teachers actually making if they just got, you know, from what they get from the school? Like, I don't know what they make. And I mean,
they work on commission.
Enough to sell their souls.
Average guidance counselor, Derek, makes around, they're a little bit above.
I'm Googling it right now.
Teacher of $55,000 a year. So it's about
high school counselor.
Look up Fairfax 20121.
You guys remember that dean of students that got hired our senior year?
Hold on.
He was that goofy guy with the bow tie.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. You know, he made $100K.
Type in a guidance counselor.
He made $100K doing nothing.
Yeah. Guidance counselors, they pretty much rip off. I think it's like 70 to almost 100K, depending on
the said stupid
school, state, everything. Okay.
It's like 60K.
But this is an elementary school counselor.
So I'm guessing high school would be 10,000 more.
Probably.
So I bet you they're taking kickbacks from universities.
Oh, absolutely. Well, guys, I think this has brought us to a natural conclusion. Folks, as you stress about standardized tests, whether you're still in school, whether you're getting, you know, bad advice from people who don't genuinely care about you, guess what? Uncle Remzo takes care of you. He takes care of you every episode with all the knowledge we dish here and with the support you need from a community of people that actively want you to succeed in a world where your freedoms, your opportunities are being limited every day because of sick corporations, because of evil governments, because of all those things that might sound like buzzwords, but it's real now. And at the end of the day, you're the only hero that can write and pursue your own story, your own set of challenges. I'm merging a bunch of concepts together, but you get what I'm saying. Before we go ahead and leave off, you know, just with some general advice, we'll go down the panel. For people that are thinking, I don't know what to do, the odds are against me, I'm not getting the support I need from either friends, family, you know, teachers, that type of stuff. What would you say to that person that knows what they want to do, but they've got those moments in their mind where they're thinking, I don't know if I can? We'll start with Derek and go down.
I'm sorry, repeat.
What's your advice, Derek?
My advice is just focus on what you want to do, where you want to be, and if college is the right path. Because there could be certificate paths that are much cheaper, much more affordable, will cause you a hell of a lot less stress, and will get you where you want to be, like in a much faster manner. Because if you want to do something IT, I highly recommend, you know, IT related certificates that you don't necessarily need a degree to do that. It helps, but you don't need it. If they know you can do the job based off of your qualifications of certs, then they'll probably let you in and you can actually get a real job fairly quickly.
Nice. Zed?
I'd say do what makes you the most amount of money in the shortest time possible. Network
And when I say network, I don't mean go to job fairs and hand out resumes. Actually become friends with Gen Xers and boomers and actually hang out with them and become friends. And yeah, you know, make as much money as possible so you can enjoy doing your hobbies and taking care of your family easily.
Nice. Sean.
I would say it's a combination of both Derek and Zed. Like, have those connections with others, but at the same time, do find that career path or direct path of what you want to do and make sure, again, do your due diligence. I mean, I'm lucky I had every side of my family be able to help out with anything and friends. But believe in yourself. Don't, again, biggest thing in my life was like, part of it was listening to someone else. And then when both my father and my grandfather sat me down and said, do what makes you happy, do what makes you happy. Don't do what Joe Schmo tells you to do and go with the flow, because ultimately you're going to get fucked in the ass.
Or you could be the hero of your own story, write your own destiny, believe in yourself. You know what? We believe in you and you can do it. Panel, thank you so much for joining once again. Folks, before I go, remember, get your first months of Hustlers University free. Use the link in the show notes to join. Join, then screenshot me your receipt. DM me on Twitter at HeyRemzo, and I will Venmo or PayPal you back your $49 to cover your first months of Hustlers University. Join tens of thousands of people from around the world, freeing themselves of corporate tyranny, mandates, all the things that make life less worth living. Fuck off, globalists. I don't know. I sound like Alex Jones when I say that. Anyway, you're getting the month free on me. We'll talk to you later. You're listening to On the Run. Good night.